Do we want to get old business out of the way before we start this new business? What business? I don't know, the usual, anything going on?
No.
Are we going to dive straight into this?
I don't really want to do anything going on, because it's going to be a real weird transition from, hey, dick joke, sexual assault.
All right, so... Do we want to try to limit this conversation to only the entertainment industry, or do we want to talk about it in general?
I have a feeling.
Keep on scrolling through.
We should post the notes to the. Hey, this is Tony.
This is Alex.
This is Kayla.
This is David.
We are the Backseat Producers.
That's a pretty upbeat introduction
for what's about to happen,
folks.
This is a very special episode.
Have you guys ever done an episode like this? In that 80s
after school special kind of way.
Yeah. So as such, I have a page full of box text to get through here. So everybody, settle in.
Okay.
This is going to be a special complicated episode of Backseat Producers. So I wanted to take a few minutes and go over a few things you should keep in mind when listening to the episode. We're going to be discussing the latest string of sexual assault allegations in the media, particularly concerning content producers and what our role as allies and consumers of media should be. To begin with, we're going to be talking about a lot of rape, sexual assault, and sexual assault-related issues. This is your warning that if those topics are going to cause you distress, you might want to skip this episode. Secondly, I want to address a criticism of the episode before we even begin. Our regular host set is 3 men and 1 woman. Our intention with this episode isn't to solve the problem, and the hosts don't represent the diversity required to have a meaningful discussion of the topic with any authority. While we do it through most of our episodes, it's not fair of us to expect Kayla to shoulder the burden of bringing legitimacy to how we feel about the subject as a woman, which isn't to say that she doesn't already do a great job of holding us accountable to the things we say that are questionable. So, and when I say not fair, I mean simultaneously not fair to her and to the broader community. Instead, I think we can have a meaningful discussion on our role as media consumers when we hear allegations of this kind, simply because that topic doesn't rob or silence any of the victims of their agency. Third, personally, fall going into the winter, middle November through late December, is like the worst time of the year for me. I'm bipolar, and the lack of sun really triggers a lot of major depressive episodes. I've got a handle on it. The reason I'm bringing this up now is that I feel that this conversation is going to get really, really dark. So, this topic has been weighing on me for a few months now, and I don't really want to talk about it, but I feel like we kind of have to talk about it. So, I can't promise you that the episode's going to get that dark, but if you're having a lot of anxiety or depression, this might also be something to skip. And then, kind of in summary, I can't speak for everyone else around the table, but my thoughts on this subject aren't complete. So this is going to be kind of an evolutionary discussion. So if you hear something at the beginning that we start discussing, don't necessarily jump to the conclusion that we're advocating rape.
Well, hold on.
That's a solid point. That's fair.
Like, because I think that a lot of this discussion is going to revolve around a definition of lines, because it's not just a black and white situation, which is why we're even having a discussion about it.
If it was black and white, there would be no discussion.
We would need to have a discussion about it, but it's not. It's just not.
So very specifically, what we're talking about is the recent string of allegations of sexual assault in the movie industry and how that affects us as consumers and what our responsibilities are and what they aren't. Am I not correct? Like, that's kind of... There was an article that we all...
I'm going to go ahead and make one correction. Entertainment industry, not just movie.
It is
blown way beyond just the movies at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a ton of angles that we're going to end up having to tackle this from, with particular respect to the justifications we've used in the past for this and whether or not they still stand.
Yes.
Right.
And I've got a few scenarios picked out where we can start trying to put some concrete assertions behind those things, which I think will be an interesting exercise.
Yeah. Yeah. So
when I say a few, I mean one.
All right. So what is it? Let's just jump right in. I mean,
just jump right in. All right.
I mean, we could go around the table and give our thoughts on it. I mean, sexual assault is bad. I think
sexual
we're all
assault is bad.
I think we're all on the table on the same page there.
All right. Let's just start with David Bowie. We recently watched Labyrinth.
Yep.
Did everybody listen to Lazarus? Buy it?
No.
What?
I did not.
But still think David Bowie's an okay guy?
I know there have been allegations about him, but I only heard about that more recently. I don't know what they are.
What if I told you he had sex with a 15-year-old girl? That's not okay.
What's the situation?
Situation is he de-virginalized a 15-year-old girl, and this is not hearsay or anything. This is,
yeah.
She wrote an article piece on it, and she's not mad. It was beautiful. So is that across a line for everybody?
Crosses a line for me.
For me.
It's still not okay. David Bowie's in a position of power. A 15-year-old girl is arguably never in a position of power. There's a huge power swing there, and a 15-year-old anything isn't capable of consenting intelligently.
I'm not disagreeing with you. So what does that mean?
What?
I don't... As far as our consumption of...
Yeah, what do you do about that?
David Bowie.
That's tough, because he's dead, so it's not like I can punish him.
I mean, you're not going to punish him anyway.
But, no, I mean...
Even if he was alive, you weren't going to be punishing him.
I didn't know that that was an allegation, or I didn't know that that was a thing that happened until right now.
But it's not an allegation, it happened.
So I didn't know that that was a thing that happened until right now. So, you know, I could sit here and say that I won't consume his media, but...
We literally have consumed his media for the podcast.
Yeah, like I don't know how... I guess this one is tougher because he is dead.
Is it?
It's kind of exactly what... It doesn't matter if he's dead or alive. It's kind of exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about consuming the art of these people who have done predatory things. Like, what is our responsibility ethically to that?
I mean, ethically, I would like to not consume the media that these people produce. I can't remember the last time I saw a Mel Gibson movie. It was way before it came out that he was anti-Semitic and everything.
And a domestic abuser.
Domestic abuser.
The list with Mel Gibson goes long.
On.
Yeah.
And on. And by now, with the quantity of allegations that are coming out, and particularly the people, my default assumption now is just that the majority of Hollywood is a sexual assault perpetrator.
Undoubtedly.
Like, I don't really have the naivete that I used to have with this, that like I just assume it now and the allegations are just forthcoming, which I don't think is an unreasonable default assumption. I'm not saying everybody's a rapist, but you get a lot of good-looking, rich, powerful people together in a consequence-free environment, and it is difficult to maintain.
And you also get humanity. You also get a lot of people in positions of power around young, hungry, insecure. A lot of cases, the people in the entertainment industry have demons of their own, and there's a lot of insecurity, and they are being pushed to maintain an image, to always work and strive for positions that, in some cases, they don't believe they're due.
Yeah,
and when you have somebody like Harvey, who is in a position of power, who literally has control over who could or could not be in a movie, making a movie, writing, directing, whatever, he has that ability to turn your career on and off.
So the ones that I know of, Harvey Weinstein, Louis C.K.
The list is really long.
George Takei
was added to the list. Neil deGrasse Tyson's been added to the list. Kevin Spacey. There's one I'm trying to remember the name of.
Brett Ratner.
Brian Singer.
John Travolta.
I mean, are you trying to get a comprehensive list?
No, like it's just...
There are also a lot of other people who I never knew their names before they, before allegations came out against them, because they are not openly famous,
yeah.
But they are producers. They're in control of content.
That's Charlie Sheen. Corey, what's his name?
Feldman.
Haim.
Haim.
There we go. Corey Haim.
Which one of them is deceased? Which of the Coreys?
Haim.
Yeah. Okay, so Corey Feldman is the one releasing this information and about Corey Haim and about his own abusers.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying that he's got, like, names.
I mean, this problem seems to be insanely widespread.
So the difficult thing with, like, coming to terms with that is that, like, on some level you always knew that this was the thing. Like, you just knew that this happened. Right, but no one said anything about it.
I mean, it's the joke.
Yeah.
The casting couch. It's...
The joke is
it's
so...
It's a genre of pornography. Like...
Yeah.
It was brought up in L.A. Noire's video game.
Yeah.
The L.A. Noire video game,
mm-hmm.
about having to do things to get in the movie industry.
I mean, we and also pretty literally, not too long ago, just watched...
Lovelace.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I guess in my mind it went from maybe the way I'm feeling about this is the way that people look at some situations where, like, they want to feel like it's a few bad apples, but it seems to be systemic, like disease, like this disease is spreading through the whole system.
I don't feel like spread. Here's the thing. Since these allegations have come out, I feel like the instances of this happening have reduced.
Of what happening?
Of these sexual assault, these predatory situations have reduced in quantity.
So I don't want to say it's spreading. It's that it's not that the problem is spreading. It's that my realization of the problem is expanding.
There we go. That's what I'm getting at. Like, this is not an isolated thing. This is just endemic to the system that we all participate in. I have a whole bullet point on my outline called the Grand Hypocrisy. And that's where we all participate in the system that we know is really fucked up, but we continue to participate in the system and tell ourselves that it's not as fucked up as it is, just to get ourselves through. But it is exactly as fucked up as that, and probably worse.
There's a lot of cognitive dissonance.
Yeah. Particularly with regards to... Remember, I have an evolving opinion on this, so don't take exactly what I'm going to say the way that it's going to sound, but I like media. I like watching movies, and I'm not going to be able to watch movies the same way, and that really irritates me.
So here's what I'm afraid of. I want to say that I can't support these artists or these producers or whoever is doing this, because I don't want to fall into this trap of thinking, I'm just the consumer, I'm not making this happen. Because what that means is there's 10 million people who are thinking the same way, and we're absolutely making it happen, right? Like, if Harvey Weinstein came out and nothing happened, we all just kept buying the movies he's making, and, like, he'd just keep doing it. He's not getting punished. So, like, I feel like there has to be a way for us to not consume the media, but then at the same time, that's going to impact... I don't know how many people it takes to make a movie. All I know is it takes, like, 25 minutes for the credits to roll through.
Right? Hundreds.
That's a fuckload of people.
It's hundreds.
Hundreds.
Thousands, maybe. Right? How many people are not credited?
I think I saw that for House of Cards, the Kevin Spacey TV show, that 2,000 people are looking at not having a job for the next couple of months.
Okay. So let's...
Now, the television industry is mercurial. It will, those people have a job. This is their last season. They would move on to find other things. But if another season of House of Cards is made, assuming you've watched the other seasons of it, would you continue watching it?
I mean,
Kevin Spacey is off the show.
That's not my. That show's not my thing, but I had no problem with Sense8 dropping and getting a different actor who played Caffeus.
But you can't replace Kevin Spacey in his role in House of Cards.
Yeah.
I don't know what
he's the title
So that's it's funny that you bring that up, because I was thinking, I've been thinking about this a lot, and I've been thinking about, like, Harvey Weinstein. I know, like, he has a hand in a bunch of movies, but that didn't really hit home. Like, Kevin Spacey, like, you know, I'm not a huge fan of him, but I was trying to think, like, what if it was one of the cast members from Sense8? Specifically, what if it was Wolfgang? Because I guess we haven't...
We all know.
Yeah, like, it's not a secret that he's, like, my fave. And you couldn't replace the actor who plays Wolfgang in my mind.
No.
And have me enjoy the show as much. So, like...
So much so that you, like, stopped in the middle of that sentence and were lost.
Wolfgang.
Yeah.
So that's how I was trying to compare it. Like, and that's funny that you brought up Sense8, because that is the example I was trying to think of. Like, what if it was this media that I cherish and, like, would want to continue consuming? Like, what are the mental gymnastics that I'm trying to do to continue watching that instead of just saying, no, I can't support this anymore?
So... I am a big Kevin Spacey fan. Have been since I saw him in Usual Suspects. Big fan. I think he's a fantastic actor. And every role that I've seen him in, and I've seen a lot of his movies. We've talked about a number of them here. And I've made no bones about the fact that I really enjoy his performances. A couple of years ago, Julie and I started watching House of Cards. We got two episodes in and life got in the way and we just didn't get back to it. It's been in our Netflix queue the entire time. It's not in my next Netflix queue anymore. I took it out. And I don't know if it's something I'm going to go back to. I don't know. I can't honestly say. Because I appreciate his art. The things he's done as a person are disgusting. It's not the same, but there are other things that people have done in their lives that when they're artists, that I can still appreciate the art they've done despite them being terrible in some way. There are so many artists, the music industry is famous for this, that have gotten hooked on all sorts of drugs. Their alcoholism was rampant. They've just done awful, terrible things. But their music is still popular. Their music is still viable. There's a tune that gets played at sporting events called Rock and Roll Part 2. That's the da 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 da. Hey da da. Yeah, that guy's a pedophile. He was a pedophile and known and arrested and served time for it.
Wow.
20 years ago. But man, that song and sports just go hand in hand.
So obviously, there are some things that are outside of our control, right? Like we can't. I mean, it would take a lot of people signing something to make, like, sports stadiums stop playing that song.
Mm-hmm.
They are not going to do that.
Because when you bring it up to people, they're like, yeah.
It's just a song.
It's just a song.
But, I mean, if that guy's still getting royalties from it.
And, yeah, he probably is.
Like, if I was in a position of power and I knew that and I, like, that guy was getting a royalty check from me, I'd be like, nah, that's... We can work something else out.
You can't.
No?
That's not how our legal system is structured.
What?
That's not how our legal system is structured.
No, I mean, if I was, like, in charge of operating Busch Stadium, I would just not play that song, so I didn't have to pay royalties for that.
Sure. And you know what? It probably wouldn't even go noticed.
Yeah.
That you stopped playing it.
I wasn't talking about the legal system at all.
I thought you were talking about, like, the people who give the royalties
to the
artists. Like, they can't just be like...
Nope.
I wasn't saying that. I was just saying, like, I would do what... Like, I just wouldn't play that song so they wouldn't get royalties. I would, like...
Yeah, so, I don't know. So, kind of going back to what Tony was talking about, This is one of those points that I cannot... This is a stumbling point in why I haven't landed on any solid ground on this entire discussion. What exactly is that line between the creator being an awful person that, like, once they cross it, I can't enjoy their media
anymore? Their art isn't viable anymore?
Yeah, like, pedophilia is, like, obviously across that line, but, like... That's a pretty extreme end on the moral spectrum.
So let's go way to the other end of the moral spectrum. Which is to the other end of the spectrum.
Not pedophilia.
Not pedophilia. Let's just look at things that you personally don't like. For example, if you are conservative,
yeah.
You're conservative and an artist promotes their liberal point of view, there are people that don't want to have anything to do with those artists anymore. There are people that wanted nothing to do with Clint Eastwood after he talked to the chair.
That was
just like, because of that. That just was because of
crazy.
That.
But
no, okay.
It's crazy.
Tom Cruise jumped on a couch. People didn't want to have anything to do with him anymore because he's nuts. Well, Tom Cruise is nuts for a lot of other reasons. They point to the jumping on the couch thing as the point that says he's crazy. I don't even need to see him in a movie anymore.
Did that keep a lot of people from seeing him in movies?
I think it was people who didn't like him in the first place.
Yeah, I feel like that's
the Scientology thing is what made me not want to deal with him at all.
But that doesn't have anything to do with you. And it doesn't even represent in his movies, and it's not even a reprehensible moral position.
Scientology is very questionable.
It's pretty questionable, but that's not the same as reprehensible.
Have you seen...
They like, actively harass and destroy people's lives.
And Tom Cruise supports them doing it. There have been leaked promotional materials from him talking to people in Scientology, like their training videos. Do you know what KSW means?
Clearly not.
It stands for Keep Scientology Working, and it literally means do whatever you have to do to protect the church and keep it working. If that means harassing people,
so
screaming
standard
at people,
church behavior.
This goes to a much different level. Mm. Tom Cruise is not acceptable for me.
Scientology is. What was the actress who recently, she played on, I think, King of Queens?
Leah Remini.
Ugh. She recently did that documentary series on leaving the Church of Scientology, where she gathered a bunch of people who have left or are trying to leave, and what they do to like keep people from leaving.
They
brainwash people and turn their families against them and like tear families apart, and they do weird things like make you sign a million-year contract and then ship you off.
They literally rape people. Women and force them to have abortions. C-Lab. C-Org. Whatever it's
C-Org.
Called. C-Org. They'll rape. They will.
Okay, that's a... Forced abortions, yes. The other part, I don't know about. Like, I wouldn't go that far.
All right.
It's not like... I'm not gonna take the position that C-Org is just a, like, floating rape machine. Like... Scientology is...
They hold people against their will.
More than morally questionable.
Okay. All right. I will accept your authority on this issue.
Nice.
Kayla and I have watched a lot of cult documentaries.
No.
I will not accept your authority on the quantity of cult documentaries you two have watched.
I have done a lot of research on Scientology.
Okay.
I think Stanley Kubrick is a good...
Director?
No. Is a good example of what we're talking about.
What did Kubrick do? Or what... I'm assuming he was accused of sexual assault.
I don't think he was accused of sexual assault, but he is abusive to his female actors in his movies. Specifically, what was the name of the actress who played in The Shining?
Shelley Duvall.
Yeah.
Shelley Duvall.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that movie is pretty much just her being terrorized by Stanley Kubrick.
Same thing with most of the female leads in Hitchcock movies.
Yep.
Yes. I was literally just like, I could see the images. I was like, who's the other one?
Hitchcock had a. He was the person that if you describe the Madonna whore complex to people, yeah, just look at Hitchcock's work. He looked at women in very strange ways. Like, just and treated them very strangely. That he portrayed them just in really weird ways in media.
This is literally me talking about almost any man.
That's fair. There's actually two Hitchcock biopics in the last, like, 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them focus on, like, different aspects of his weird relationship with women. Like...
Yeah, they do.
Like, both different and weird, but they, like, also make oblique references to the other movie being a thing, but that's not what we're focusing on in right. this movie.
So, specifically, I brought up Stanley Kubrick because we were talking about the spectrum, like,
yeah.
what line we're drawing, and you brought up Tom Cruise and Scientology, and not to say that Stanley Kubrick has been accused of sexually assaulting anyone. I don't know if he has or hasn't.
And just for clarification, the it was Rock and Roll Part 2, the song that I was talking about. The performer's name is Gary Glitter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he specifically went to Vietnam and Cambodia.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I don't need tourism. I don't need to go any farther than that. That's but yeah, disgusting. That's what this guy looks like. So
looks like my brother-in-law. Anyway. So, Kubrick terrorizing Shelley Duvall. What side of the line is that on? Because there's a whole art through adversity situation. What did she? How did she feel about it?
I'm pretty sure that movie destroyed her.
Mm.
Let me look this up.
Unless there's some explicit request from the actor or actress saying, I need you to treat me poorly so I can nail this scene, I'm not okay with it.
Hmm. Like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
There was this thing...
Because that scene is fucking brutal, man.
I don't know what that is, but there's a...
The scene where Jack Nicholson chokes out Nurse Ratched and actually chokes her out.
There was a pair of Olympic swimmers from... I can't remember what country they were from. In the last Summer Olympics, and they were either husband and wife or boyfriend and girlfriend, and they were each other's coach, and the man was screaming at the woman when she was swimming back, and everybody was freaking out about it, but she was like, no, I asked him to do this because it helps motivate me. Like, I that part I get, but like, just tearing somebody apart emotionally without their asking for it to help them with something, like, that's not acceptable. I didn't know this about Kubrick, and I'm glad I know now.
So you can not watch another one of his movies?
There was only one movie of his that I enjoyed.
Hmm.
And I think it was before he discovered LSD. Or whatever the fuck he discovered.
I feel like... Wait, which one?
How I Learned to Love the Atomic Bomb. Oh. Dr. Strangelove.
Yeah, I feel like he discovered LSD pretty early.
This was black and white.
But I feel like he discovered LSD pretty early.
But had I known that about him, and had I been a sentient being with a conscious before watching the movie, because I watched that movie in like 8th or 9th grade for the first time, I would choose not to consume his media, probably.
I'm sorry, what movie are we talking about?
How Dr. Strangelove.
Hmm. How do you feel about the movie now?
It feels tainted, because I'm thinking about all the female actors in the movie, and... how they were probably treated on set. I mean, I assume they were treated poorly because this was an old black and white movie, and now I'm assuming they were treated even worse than I imagined.
Wow.
What?
I just kind of blows my mind, like, the people didn't understand or know, like, the...
About Kubrick?
Not Kubrick, no. Were we talking about Kubrick specifically?
Yes. He's specifically talking about Kubrick.
Well, you were saying about, like, how these actresses were treated, like...
Yeah, they were on Kubrick's set. Kubrick directed that movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I can't imagine they were treated well being women in the 50s.
Specifically because they run a Kubrick movie, or is it...
Just in general.
I'm not accusing you of anything. I'm trying to figure out what...
He's taking your thing about Shelley Duvall and transplanting it to the women on Dr. Strangelove.
Okay.
That's where the disconnect is.
I always assume like they weren't treated well because women weren't treated well in the 50s period. Mm-hmm. Women aren't treated very well now. But like now that I know that Kubrick did all this crazy like attacks and emotional damage to women, like I'm just looking at this movie and thinking about all the actresses in it who he probably did the same thing to.
He might have done the same thing too.
Sure.
I don't know if he was still going for the same thing in Dr. Strangelove that he was going for in The Shining. I mean, like... So I don't know that you can paint that assumption broadly across the board. Like, I'm pretty sure he probably was not terrorizing people to make them seem harried and feared and eyes wide shut. Except for me, as I was running away from the movie trying to turn it off. Because the movie is fucking awful. So, all right, so that's on that side of the line.
I mean, we're talking about a line, and I think that, and what the whole point of this conversation is that line is going to be different for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't bring up Stanley Kubrick to shame anybody who likes Stanley Kubrick films, but for some reason, for me, that knowledge has just tainted the way I see Stanley Kubrick and Stanley Kubrick movies,
mm-hmm.
and... So that's where I'm at in this conversation, and that's where this article was interesting to me. Like, but there are other forms of media where people do things, and I try to make not necessarily make excuses, but like we're talking about, there's all this cognitive dissonance that goes on in my head where I'm like, well, blah, blah, blah. When really all it boils down to is I want to watch this movie. Like, I want to listen to this music still and enjoy it. Like...
All I can think about.
I was never a huge Stanley Kubrick fan. I had seen The Shining. I had seen some of his movies, but I was not emotionally invested in that art. So when I found out information about him, like it's easy for me to be like, okay, yeah. I don't want to support this.
So it's an easy high road to take.
Yeah.
So here's a fun thing. Harvey Weinstein and his company started the careers of Kevin Smith,
mm-hmm.
Quentin Tarantino.
Quentin Tarantino and him were like best friends.
And he sexually harassed Quentin Tarantino's girlfriend.
He made himself friends with people that he saw as up and coming.
Yeah.
And he gave him, there's an article, I wish I would have thought to pull it up before now, a writer who came up under Miramax, and he was talking about Harvey, and he talked about how, you know, at the time he thought Harvey was just such a great guy. He knew that there was something weird, but at the same time, Harvey was, you know, putting him on a plane and sending him to Europe for the weekend and, you know, doing all this great stuff for him, got his career started. You know, does that taint the careers of those people because he was the one that started them? If they were if they never had anything to do with this, and speculation, you can speculate all you want whether they did or didn't. I don't know, and I don't know that we'll ever know unless people admit to it. But the idea that the art becomes lost because the person backing it was a shitty person is a tough thing for me to reconcile.
It doesn't taint your view of that. Like, I don't think I'll be able to listen to a Queen song now. And
Queen?
You said David Bowie, right?
That's not Queen.
Freddie Mercury is Queen. Don't bring Freddie into this.
Which one's David Bowie?
Don't do that.
Just David Bowie.
Sorry. Yeah. I don't think I'll be able to listen to a David Bowie song now and not think, oh, this guy
had sex consensually with a 15-year-old girl who couldn't consent.
There's no consensual sex with a 15-year-old and however old he was at the time.
And then also went on to promote LGBT rights consistently for the next 30 years.
we're not, a person is not their worst or their best.
I know.
They're everything I've said simultaneously. That. It's, but this isn't something that I'm not going to be able to, like, this is something that's going to hit me every time. Like, and just like if I watched the first season of Sense8 again, all I'd be thinking about is how Caffeus is a bigot in the first season.
Do we know Flynn Lives Gaming?
Oh yeah, that's Rich. That's
hold on, Rich. Hold on. The Caffeus bigot thing, like, you read what that was, right? He was just uncomfortable with the sex scenes.
Yeah, which I think is a completely...
I thought it was more specific
than I that. Think when I we were was... first getting information on it, there was speculation that it had something to do with the yeah. LGBT
yeah.
themes.
The last, it. Yeah. The
But I think when it came out, it had more to do with, I don't want to fuck a bunch of people on screen.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, I thought it was specifically
It seemed to be, I don't want to be in a position that makes it look like I'm fucking a man on screen.
Yeah.
I thought it was specifically about the transgender
that
woman whose character's name I can't even remember.
Nomi.
Yeah. That seems like it would be an odd
Clayton.
It would be an odd point for that person to leave the series, considering Nomi was such a part of the series throughout. And it wasn't specifically until season two early on that they were asked to perform that one scene where they're all like in a big sex pile together. I mean,
everybody back in the pile.
No, yes. Yeah.
There was definitely a sex pile in season one.
But he wasn't in it.
He was Jamie in the van Clayton. Wondering why he had a boner.
But that's different than performing with other people.
Yeah. And if the line is, I don't want to be on screen where it looks like I'm fucking a man, is that a line that's too far?
No. I mean, everybody has their own personal preference. I'm not going to...
There are people that, knowing that happens in Sense8, won't watch Sense8.
That's fine. They're missing a really fucking good show and some hot scenes.
Well,
but that's not what they would consider hot. Scenes
Riley spinning.
Yeah.
But
it's a hard thing for me to step away from art that was created. And what's really strange is, like, I think I'm still okay with watching the old Kevin Spacey movies that I watched before, but I don't know that I'll be able to watch anything new. I mean, those things are already in my head. Those things have already affected me.
It's not.
And
so this revelation isn't changing your memories to dislike those, because cognitive dissonance. Mm-mm. No, what's that? Nope. What's it called? Where your current views of a person affect your memories of the person. That's a thing that your brain does.
Sure.
It's interesting that you bring that up, because I kind of feel the same way too. Like, but I don't understand why.
Yeah, I mean the things he did were terrible and horrible.
I don't know if that's just another hoop that I'm jumping through in my head to justify going and watching a movie that I already love, you know? Like,
I don't for media I have already watched, I already have a relationship with that media.
Yeah.
Like, after you watch something, it's not... The act of consuming the media changes the media, particularly for you. So when you consume the media going forward and you know, the media will be different because it's going to be tainted by whatever you, like, have learned about the person. But I think anything that you've already seen, like, when you experience it that first time, it's, like, you don't have the... It's pure. Like, you have Flint that pure memory.
Cognitive reframing. Alex went to the bathroom, so I'll ask him when he gets back.
I hate fucking streaming.
Sorry.
It's not about you.
It destroys to bring it back the conversation. To
a point that you had previously about, so Quentin Tarantino and Kevin
Smith,
whose careers were launched essentially by Harvey,
mm-hmm.
are they tainted by their association now?
Because without the influence of that shitty person
doing those shitty things to get to where he was,
or even to help them launch their careers,
like
it's difficult to lock down any single thing being the direct result of those things that he's done, you
know? Is it the fruit of the poison tree?
Oh, Jesus.
That's a legal
thank you
terminology. It's legal terminology. Yeah, Rich is asking if it's cognitive reframing.
That sounds right.
Is it fruit of the poison tree though? The tree is Harvey. He is the shitty tree from which all this fruit has grown.
So here's what's sorry.
No, you started talking like. But is it like I don't know if I would be ready to condemn Kevin Smith and the things that he has created. Like
this relation of Kevin Smith to Harvey Weinstein doesn't add up for me.
What do you mean add up?
So like Kevin Smith getting his career from Harvey Weinstein did Kevin Smith have sexual assault allegations too?
No.
Okay. No. Not at this point.
Kevin Smith's career being kicked off by somebody who we now despise doesn't taint my view of Kevin Smith until I see evidence that he had a hand in it.
I mean,
but he has personally benefited from it.
He has.
On the other hand, Kevin Smith has come, like, he has, like, made a public statement about that and all the royalties that he makes from movies produced by the Weinstein Company, he is donating to what charity?
It's a charity. I can't remember the exact name, but it's a charity that provides support to female filmmakers, people who are trying to get into the industry in Hollywood, specifically females who. It's an organization that just tries to bridge the gap for them.
Yeah.
Because there is still a huge gap and it's trying to help them. He's giving his royalties from the Miramax films, which doesn't include Mallrats.
Women in Film.
Women in Film. That's right. I knew it was something very simple. I didn't want to mess it up. And he has stated too that if the dissolution of these companies creates a situation where his movies are not available for purchase because the infrastructure that created them is gone, he's going to continue to donate money every month for the rest of his life to that organization just because he feels like shit about his association with
that he benefited
from this.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that's one. What about the rest of them?
Well, no, like unless somebody knowingly
is strong.
It is. And so what do you mean that's one? What about the rest of them? What is your implication
rest
there?
Of everyone.
My implication is the rest of everybody who benefited from it.
Well, these people didn't benefit from Harvey Weinstein sexually molesting people.
No.
That's
not what he's like, but yeah, he did.
But they did. They did.
He sexually molested people people benefited.
No, he didn't just sexually assault people. He intimidated young actresses to, like to control them. And he benefited off of that control.
Harvey Weinstein did.
Yes.
Not other people.
No, okay. Harvey Weinstein
Well, other
is
people
the
did
company.
Also, but we're talking about Harvey, right?
Yeah. Harvey Weinstein is the head of this company. And because of the success that Harvey Weinstein had in his position, he was able to trickle down that success, if you will, to people like Kevin Smith and Quentin Tarantino. So they benefit from that, indirectly.
Those are, by the way, those two names are two names on a long list.
Yes.
A huge list.
Those are very easy names to pick out because those two were also benefited within like the first year or two of the existence of Miramax.
I guess joining Harvey Weinstein to a producer is harder for me to say, like, oh yeah, this producer, like, unless the producer was like, yeah, Harvey Weinstein manipulated this girl for me to do this thing, like, that's not okay. But like, just benefiting because of Harvey Weinstein.
So you wouldn't feel bad if like you were doing a huge project and like someone was like, hey, I'll sponsor you for that, like, I'll give you a shit ton of money. And then comes to find out, like, that person got all this money by, like, slaughtering a million baby goats. Like,
hold on. There's a difference between me as a consumer looking at Kevin Smith
and saying, I don't blame Kevin Smith for what happened. And I'm
not talking about blame.
Or versus me as a person being like, oh shit, I took this money from a Kenyan drug lord or something, right? Like,
we're not talking about blaming Kevin Smith. Nobody's blaming Kevin Smith for sexually assaulting.
No, I guess what I'm saying is, if I was in Kevin Smith's position, I would understand feeling bad. I would understand being like, oh shit, like this happened like around me. Like I was a part of this and I would feel upset and I would try to make things right.
And you would feel guilt.
Yeah. However, me looking at Kevin Smith, like me as the consumer, like I don't blame Kevin Smith for these things. It would be different if Kevin Smith came out like Gene Simmons did a few days ago. I'm like, oh yeah, fuck women. They use their, you either wear a potato sack or you dress sluttily and that's your power. No, that's Gene Simmons.
No, that's my power.
Like, so like if Kevin Smith said things like that, I'd be like, okay, Kevin Smith has a problem with this too.
Okay, but what if they just don't say anything?
Silence is violence in this situation.
So that's what we're talking about. Kevin Smith put his foot down and he drew a line and he is at least aware enough to feel that guilt.
Yeah.
And to try to do something about it.
Which is why I said that's one.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I like if silence is violence here. So if somebody was a producer on one of these movies and benefited from Harvey Weinstein and they don't release a statement or don't seem to have a problem with Harvey Weinstein, then that person's not okay for me. But those people are harder to track. It's different when it's an actor that you're seeing on the screen versus some suit at Sony.
How much of that blame do you think is gonna also perpetuate to the women who allowed him to continue to do this? The women who knew what kind of a predator he was and didn't say anything to protect the women who came behind them.
I mean, it's a position of power sort of thing.
Sure.
It is a position of power.
I would argue.
What if there have been stories of women who approached Harvey because they wanted a job and they heard that if you sleep with Harvey, you get a job because they wanted a job.
That sounds consensual, although kind
of it sounds it sounds consensual, but is it because of his position of power? Also, does it empower in a weird way the predator to think that, yeah, they like this?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it absolutely makes him feel better about what he's doing because it's positive reinforcement.
So do those women have any
responsibility?
Any responsibility?
I'm not even talking about them.
I'm not ready to put onus on
they weren't in a position of power. Anyone that Harvey Weinstein sexually assaulted or any woman that came up to him to try to get a job was obviously not in a position of power. So they're not to blame.
Yeah, that's his responsibility to.
So why would you? So just devil's advocate this argument. Why would you put blame on a young filmmaker who is approached by Miramax to produce their movie and they find out that one of the actresses that was cast for his movie was done so because of one of these casting couch situations for Harvey? Would you put any onus on a young male filmmaker to report that, to stop production of their film, because they're not in a position of power either? There are a lot of gymnastics going on.
Hypotheticals here. The producer in that situation has no real power because he doesn't have any concrete evidence. All he has is hearsay.
Oh, the producer's Harvey.
The producer's Harvey?
The executive producer.
Who's the filmmaker?
The director. The writer-director.
The director in that situation doesn't have any real power because all he has is hearsay. I feel like if the director doesn't try to help, that's kind of shitty. Because the director has some power.
The power that they have will lose them their job.
Like the situation.
Potentially.
Yeah. I don't know. I want to feel like if I was in that position.
That's an impossibility.
Yeah.
That's an impossible road to.
This is so hypothetical. Like, I don't know how to process everything.
Is it that hypothetical? I actually don't feel like it's that hypothetical. I feel like this is a real-world situation that has happened many times.
I want to say that I would try to help out. Like, what helping out looks like would really just be whatever I think I could do, or whatever the actress, you know, would tell me would help them. Like, I don't...
The situation is compounded by a lot of different factors. One, the desperation that a lot of these people have to break into Hollywood leads them to do a ton of questionable things and not say anything about it.
Yeah.
Because they feel guilt over putting themselves in the position.
And
they feel like they're getting something from it. They're paying a due.
I don't really want to speculate as to the motivations or why they would feel that way, but it's not a pleasant scenario for them in any way, shape, or form. But I can't imagine that most actresses, probably all actresses, haven't gone through this or something extremely similar to this.
I can't imagine that this isn't something that everybody knows. If they haven't experienced it personally, they know of people that have. The trope of the casting couch,
yeah,
because it is a trope.
Have you actually ever seen any of that porn?
No.
Because...
And I'm not talking porn. I'm not even talking about porn. I'm talking about the mainstream media trope of the casting couch.
Yeah, I know.
It's too prevalent of a trope for there not to be truth in it.
Yeah. No. I does anybody here think that doesn't happen?
I fully believe it does.
Yeah.
And also, I've seen the porn. I mean.
What were we talking about? How did we get to this point?
How did we get to this point?
Thousands of years of gender suppression?
Maybe it's unfair of me, but I'm 100% not ready to start trying to shift onus onto the young women. Even the young women who acted consensually in relations to Harvey Weinstein. I'm just not ready to go there. Like,
okay.
I need for the predators and the people benefiting from it to first take a step up. Like, I can't even examine that. Like,
I want to add to that. If there's no power for a person, you can't fault them for anything, in my opinion. Like, if what you have to gain out of this is potentially getting a career, I feel like you're in a position of zero power or close to zero power, right? So, like, I feel like the blame goes directly with the power.
This is a big fucking gray line right here.
Specifically in this conversation where we're trying to compare the women to the men who benefit, where we're having this conversation about men who are predators and men who benefit, I'm not ready to shift the conversation to, well, women do this. Well, what about the women? Like, I just, like, I'm exhausted.
And I want to.
That's not where I was going with it.
I want to clarify my point, because I was the one that made it.
Okay.
My point was not to put any blame on those women. My point was to say, because of the fact that we're not putting any blame on those women, should we also not consider blame on people who are not in a position of power, my scenario that I proposed to Alex, of a young male filmmaker who is made aware of this situation, but is told by someone else, yeah, if you want to keep your lucrative film deal that we're about to sign, you'll just walk away right now and not worry about what happens to that person going to Harvey's room tonight. And that's the gray line I'm talking about, but I'm
not ready to, like, it's the comparing the two that I'm, I don't know, maybe that's unfair of me. I'm just not ready to.
My question was more, what is the responsibility of the people who understand the system and how it works and aren't directly taking advantage of the system but are still participating in the system? What is their responsibility?
To try to help the victims?
That doesn't mean anything. Like, Kevin Smith, I think, is probably doing just about anything that you, like, everything that you're supposed to do, but that's Kevin Smith. right? Like, the list of people who are Kevin Smith noteworthy on that list is probably not insignificant, but also, Kevin Smith doesn't seem like he had a ton of involvement in the situation anyway. Like, he took the money, but may or may not have necessarily been aware where the money was coming from, right? So how far down that line of taking money from Harvey Weinstein do you start abating some of that responsibility?
Also, the money doesn't necessarily come from his abuse.
You can't.
But the power that he has with his money is what gives him the ability to abuse.
I don't know that you can split. Like, it's not like a general ledger where you could split my abuse money into the.
But how do they? But I mean, this isn't the same as being a drug lord or being a or being a trafficker, a sex trafficker. This is someone who had a position of power, aside from the fact that they also were an abuser. If that person never abused a single person, there's nothing to say that they wouldn't have the same position of power and money.
Yeah, but he did. He did abuse people.
He did, but that's not where the money came from.
So prove it. What? You know he did approve people. You know he did abuse people, and he had a bunch of money. And you know at some point the two are related. But you can't account for every dollar. It was like, oh, this dollar is a not abuse dollar, and this dollar is an abuse dollar.
So he abused female artists who were in his industry, who played in his movies. That's the link between his abuse and the money. Yeah. Is like he made money off of those women,
and he also made legit money that didn't have anything to do with that. I'm not arguing that point, but my point is that you can't say, well, he only made 20% of his money and power off of abusing people, so the other 80% is clean. I don't think that's how that works. Like, I don't think there's a percentage there. Like, the dude was an abuser. You can't split off. Like, Kevin Smith is clean because he came out of the good pile of cash. But what? Quentin Tarantino is kind of a dick because he came out of the bad cash. That doesn't work.
So
I think we're losing a point in this part of the discussion.
We needed an outline.
Yeah, if only somebody had one.
If only somebody had one. Oh shit.
Maybe I can bring this up with a very loosely related story.
Oh fuck. All right, I'll pull out my outline. Go.
At work, they were courting. I work for a huge advertising firm. They were courting a potential client who is a gun manufacturer. And all I could think of when they were doing this is, oh my god, I hope we don't get this job, because either I'm going to have to tell my boss I can't work on this project because that's going to weigh on my conscience, or I'll have to just do it and accept that I'm not as good of a person as I want to be. And in the process, I decided that I would have to tell my boss I can't work for this customer. I can't do any of their work. You'll have to pass it off onto somebody else. But even then, me not doing the work, they would potentially be on a platform that I write shared code for, and my paycheck would be partially funded by this gun manufacturer's money. So, like, I feel as though if I was in a position where the person giving me money was a known bad agent or an agent that I disagreed with, I would have to step aside and not take part in this project, right? I would expect the same out of these directors if they knew. Like, at the very least, to not participate. And I realize that's a huge thing to ask. I'm in a position where I can probably do this and be fine. Worst case scenario, I could probably get another job pretty quickly. I don't think it's the same thing when you're a fucking Hollywood director, right? Like, you get blackballed and you're out or something, right? Especially if it's your first or second shot.
I actually really like this example because I have a whole fucking bullet point on this.
I mean, what?
It's actually under my grand hypocrisy.
It's
system, my bullet point. It's number A. It's the shackles of the system. So let's just say you provide for your animal, right? Like, that surgery Pete just had is pretty expensive.
Yeah.
So you maybe weigh her well-being into your career choices, where you're like, I just don't want to work for these people on ethical grounds. Because now you're actually, making a judgment call that your ethics are more important than that dog.
or any other number of familial responsibilities that a person may have.
And but this is where I realize I come from a place of extreme privilege.
Yeah. The ease of getting another job notwithstanding.
But that's the thing for me. Like, I could get a different job or maybe even switch to a different team internally in my company and still get paid the same amount of money as I do. I'm not the fucking lighting guy working on the set who just witnessed Harvey Weinstein assault somebody. Right. Like, I'm not counting on that job going paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah. 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 This is a good place to recognize your privilege that you have a mobility in the system that a lot of people do not have.
Yeah. And then the other side of that is a lot of people think like, well, if I don't do this, somebody else is going to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could play that and probably continue on with my life. But like, I just don't want to have any part of this thing. Right. So I know there are a lot of people who are like, you know, well, people want drugs, so I'm going to provide them with drugs, right? Like, we've heard that.
Got some?
No.
Are we doing drugs?
Are we doing drugs?
Drug cast?
But,
next week is Thanksgiving.
I mean, I'm sure a lot of people justify their decisions like, well, if I wasn't here, somebody else would just be doing the same thing, right? So, I don't know. Maybe it's just that I'm in a position, in enough of a privileged position that I can afford to lose it.
I like this example less now that the conclusion is this could have been a conflict for me, but it really isn't.
That's the problem with where I'm at. If this was a struggle, like
Alex and his employment privilege,
Alex has a job.
It becomes an easier decision for you to make.
Yeah, no, it's.
Imagine making that decision if you had
kids,
twice the debt, and kids, and
the
medical
only
bills.
Income to your house of six kids,
and one of them is special needs, and
yeah, no, it,
I mean you can create scenarios for days where
you don't have to. I would do the work for the gun manufacturer, and I really don't like guns. I do the work for Equifax, and I think Equifax is a truly awful organization.
It's a similar argument that defense attorneys are put to.
Oh. They did take an oath.
They did. They did take an oath to represent their client to the best of their abilities.
Defense attorneys bother me less because there's a difference between I'm going to get this murderer off the hook to I'm just going to make sure this person has a fair trial and isn't getting railroaded and like they understand their rights and they understand what they can do. Like
But doing that job to the best of their ability and getting that murderer off puts them in a position of getting more high profile cases and upping their billing rates.
Private defense attorneys. So private defense attorneys get to choose their clients. I was talking about public defenders. Public defenders don't get to pick their clients.
I look at public defenders as a completely different class. But I'm talking about a private defense attorney.
Yeah, private defense attorneys get to pick their clients. So the private defense attorney who gets off the murderers, it's on you, basically.
Phrasing, Alex.
Yeah, why are we continually talking about getting off murderers?
The hammer pulled you off.
Anyway.
We actually did hit a lot of the things I have on here, but my names were better. The tyranny of the inevitable conclusion is somebody else will just do it.
Wow.
I like coming up with clever names.
You normally aren't that good at clever names. That's a good one.
That is pretty good.
Legitimately,
PodcastoCon, that was terrible.
I will spend 4 hours thinking about something before I come up with an acceptable field label in an application.
Just call it butt stuff and move on.
One of the worst things for me, coming up with a name for a new program.
I mean, so just to bring this back to a relevant discussion, but like we start talking about, it's a gun manufacturer. This is what I would do. We are literally sitting at this table talking about people making movies and whether or not we should watch those movies. And that's the discussion we're having.
It's more than just the movies for me, though. So have you seen these allegations with Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Yes, I have. I have seen the...
Most recently, what I've seen is that people are reaching out to Neil deGrasse Tyson and he's refusing to comment on it.
Has there been more than one allegation?
No.
It's an allegation from one individual. She's just now getting some media attention. She got some last year that died out.
The story came out last year.
The story came out last
year.
That
was 2015.
I thought it was
2014. Your face.
It's painful.
It is.
It is no secret that Neil deGrasse Tyson is someone I look up to. Like, I pause to say hero because I think that, you know, human beings are human beings, and like, that's a weird pedestal to put people on, but that's extremely painful. And the allegation is extremely serious.
And him not, so far he's like refused to comment on it, which seems to just make matters worse.
Has any commentary to date been satisfactory for the public?
I'll just say, just roll out the Punnett square and you tell me what the correct action is here to do. And on the left side, we'll say, makes a comment, doesn't make a comment. On the top, we'll say, did it and didn't do it. And you tell me what the ideal combination is there.
Makes a comment, didn't do it?
What's that comment look like?
Yeah, right.
I don't know. In any sort of...
There is no good comment.
It didn't happen.
No, it...
That's the comment that they make. That's the same comment that people who have been... Yeah.
That comment is the same in both boxes.
Right.
I guess Louis C.K.'s wasn't, but Louis C.K.'s was not a...
Louis C.K. actually admitted... Yeah, he admitted to it, but he didn't apologize for it.
Louis C.K. said a lot of good things in that apology.
He said a lot of good adjacent things.
Yeah.
He didn't apologize.
Trudesque.
He admitted to it, which is a... what's the word I'm looking for? Validation?
I don't know.
He didn't say it didn't happen.
He didn't say directly that it did happen, I guess.
He said, never...
He gave a version.
He said, I never masturbated in front of somebody without permission. But
I believe the whole statement starts with, the stories are true.
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Yeah, but the story he then goes on to tell in his apology is different.
Yeah. Good adjacent.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good like.
Yeah. But that's actually the best one so far.
Yeah.
So Alex, my question still stands. Like, what is the appropriate action you take in any of those four scenarios? Because we haven't seen it yet.
Well, for Neil deGrasse Tyson, I would like to see any sort of statement that indicates, you know, not only did it not happen, but here's, like, me and this person didn't cross paths, or, like, any sort of factual evidence.
She can't. Yeah, you can't do that.
So, like, we know she was one of his students? Because
I thought they were students together.
I thought he was her professor.
No, he was...
No, she was. She went to his apartment. Something. And I'm pretty sure that...
Did you guys read this article I sent you?
I did. I was the one who sent you guys articles.
Yeah.
No, I don't remember that.
Okay, well.
Kayla sent the
article. I could have sworn they were in school together, but if not, because she was at his personal apartment, like, and I guess they hung out all the time.
I thought he was like a TA or an undergrad assistant or something like that.
Something like that. I don't know.
Or graduate assistant. I don't know.
Where were we going with this?
But so, like, I would love to see factual evidence that it couldn't happen. That's probably a pipe dream.
So where I'm at in this is not where you're at in this. Yeah. I don't want... So you're asking for... You're saying, Neil, please prove to me that this didn't happen. Say it isn't so.
Nah.
You're right. I didn't read this article the correct way.
I'm not...
No, that's essentially what you're saying is...
I want it isn't so.
I want it to
not be true.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I want it to not be true as well, but if it did happen, I would want him to come out and say it.
Yeah.
I want him to state the truth, but
how?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So
in a blog post in October 2014, she claimed she was a grad student. The blog post was in 2014. She claimed she was a grad student at the same time Tyson was there and that he drugged and raped her. He offered me a glass of water. I accepted a liquid in a cup made out of a coconut shell. I recall coming back to consciousness briefly. Then the next thing I remember is seeing him in the hallway the next day. That's the statement.
She also goes on, she wanted to be the first
black astronaut.
Female black astronaut. And she goes on to say that after the incident, she completely lost her motivation and her drive. She didn't continue, like, with her aspiration.
So, like, it... And also, there's this... There's, like... There's the whole innocent until proven guilty thing, right? But then there's also the sexual assault victims rarely get their cases heard.
There's innocent until proven guilty, and then there's... Our system is a fucking wreck, yeah. And...
Our system is, like... I absolutely couldn't blame a woman right now for not taking sexual assault charges to the police or to the court system because it's just a joke.
You know, we don't have an innocent until proven guilty system. We just assume the guilt of the victim.
We assume the guilt of the, you're talking about victim blaming.
Yeah.
Are you talking about specifically in cases of sexual assault?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like almost universally.
Absolutely.
In fact, this discussion we're having about Neil deGrasse Tyson is a pretty good example.
Yeah.
Like, Neil, come out and convince us it didn't happen,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, that's where we're starting with this, when in fact that isn't where we should be, like...
No. Yeah. Like, your default assumption was he hasn't made a statement and it looks really bad. Like, he should just make the statement that he didn't do it and then it'll be fine.
No. It's not really that he makes the statement that he didn't do it. I just want...
him not to have done it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like,
okay, so let's shift this a little bit to George Takei, because he has made the statement that he didn't do it.
So George Takei is Takei, because Takei means expensive. Anyway, he says he didn't do it, and he claims that there's a bunch of bots that are trying to raise the profile of this fake news story. And I've seen some reports on this. Like, I haven't seen any actual data from, like Twitter or Facebook or any of these companies confirming it yet. But I don't...
This is a weird way of saying...
I don't know where this is going.
I don't know where you're going either.
No, I just...
you know I'm going to pounce on your conclusion, whatever it comes to.
The point is, George Takei was accused of sexual assault. He came out and he's made a statement.
Yeah.
Fully denying everything.
Right, and that's the point I was getting to.
Yeah. So this is in direct comparison to Neil deGrasse Tyson, who has had a...
allegation and no statement.
Yes.
And this is also, I believe, a similar time frame. We're talking 30-plus years between accusation and today.
Yeah.
Or incident. I'm sorry, incident and accusation. Or at least public accusation that's being recognized finally, perhaps is the better way of saying it.
So we don't feel any differently about that?
I don't know.
And the other comparative item is George Takei is, I would assume, for most people at this table, another, like...
Before this came out, I would have said George Takei is beyond reproach. Like,
do you know anybody were beyond reproach?
Besides George Takei, no. He's another beloved, like, he is...
He's Uncle George.
Yeah.
Like he's everybody's gay uncle.
He was in Star Trek, like, so he's got the nerddom, like, he's gay, so, like, he's big for the LGBTQ++, like,
he's on community. My goddamn phone in the Futurama game.
Right, like...
He is in a... He produces a production of a play about the internment camps.
Mm-hmm, that the Japanese internment camps.
That he was part of. I mean... Yeah. Yeah.
I don't feel like we're applying the same standard of rigor to George Takei that we were to Stanley Kubrick for harassing an actress, when the allegation against George Takei was he literally drugged and raped somebody.
Wait, why? When I was literally just listing, like, why this is another difficult, like, I was listing why this is comparative to Neil deGrasse Tyson.
No,
he's picking on Alex right now.
I'm picking on Alex.
So that
I like picking on Alex. Everything with Alex is so consistent. I love when we get these, like...
No, here's the thing with Stanley Kubrick. I don't have an emotional investment in him, so it's easy for me to change.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
George Takei, I am trying to process this beyond my own biases, and I'm a fucking human being. so it's like impossible.
Gross. You know what? You know what?
Yeah, no. Boo.
You know what? I'm a hypocrite.
We're all hypocrites.
But like I'm
grand hypocrisy, Tony.
You have to make decisions constantly about how willing you are to accept that something is okay to you in the moment.
Like
and for example, you have someone that you're a good friend with.
I'm right here, Jesus.
And they do something that you find reprehensible.
Oh God,
for you personally, but because what that person did does not and could not affect you, you make a decision that you can live with it.
I'm really glad you brought that up because we've been talking about like the entertainment industry.
Because there is a specific example I could give and I won't.
Don't.
But I could.
Me?
Yeah. No, we're all. What?
What did I do? But no, I would, because I was going to bring that up next is like, this doesn't just apply to how we feel about artists and the entertainment industry. This is how we treat everybody.
It's a coping mechanism we use for everything.
Yeah, people do this for other people in their personal lives all the time. Like the people who were members of churches, of priests who they found out that they were, you know, molesting kids. Like, you jump through those hoops. Oh, well, he's a great guy. Like, he never did anything to me. Like,
so, it was probably about a year ago, there was the young athlete who raped a girl, and it was one of those white privilege.
Oh, Brock.
Was it him?
Brock Turner?
Yeah.
Oh,
his
yeah.
His dad wrote a letter to the judge saying, my son's life is going to be destroyed. And people
Why should his life be destroyed over 20 minutes of...
Okay. Right. But I'm going to tell you, if that were me, if I was in his position, if I was in the father's position, I honestly cannot say I would not have written the exact same letter. I can't. I realistically cannot say that I would not have done the same thing to protect my child. It's because of the emotional connection.
Yeah.
I can't. I would love to say, no, I would have done the right thing. But man, you know what? Holden screwed up this week and he forged my name on something. but you know what? It was because he forgot to have me sign it, and it was something stupid. He forgot to have me sign something, and it was like
a blank check.
But it was something so inconsequential. But if he would have been caught at doing it, there would have been extremely serious consequences for him. Extremely serious. Really? Because yeah, from I'm not going to get into it now. But yeah, it's from the school. But if the school would have called me and said, "Hey, did you sign this?" Yes, I did. I would have handled his punishment at home. I would not have let him go through that severe of a punishment through the school system.
But
as protection. And that's, you know what? And that's so small in comparison to what Brock Turner did. So small. But as a parent, and because of the closeness of that relationship, when I saw that and I saw the outrage, I was like, I understand the outrage, but at the same time, I kind of understand where that dad is.
Listen, there were a lot of things to be angry about in that scenario. Like, the dad's shit was further down the list. One, that dude raped a chick. Like we'd probably start there, right? And then, like, kind of, like, spreading the blame around to other things is probably not where you want to go, right? Like, let's just focus on the dude raping the chick.
Yeah.
I feel like...
And then the judge who did not... Like, the three-month sentence. Like, let's just...
Even think he served the entirety of it.
He didn't. He got out and, like, I don't know. He got out before then. Like, let's just focus on the one and two problem. And then we solve the one and two problem. Then we deal with this shitty dad. Well, shitty dad. This dad that did a shitty thing. Yeah. It seems like a very daddish thing to do. Because I can't tell you honestly that if I had been Brock Turner, that my dad wouldn't have done the same thing. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. He's a wily old bastard.
But... I'd fucking disown my son, I feel like. I don't have a son. So
I don't think that that's a fair assessment you can make without having a son.
I'd throw Holden out the top story window for you. Like, you don't have to do it.
Thanks, Alex.
Like, you can just sit in the yard and say, Alex is going to do this for the next 10 years.
Oh my god.
Jesus, don't you have a fucking job?
No, he had to quit it over the gun thing.
Quit over the gun thing?
Oh. Yeah, in this scenario, we've moved into Tony's house with Peach.
Because
Alex quit his gun job.
Full-time Holden throwing position.
We're already here all day, so why not just throw Holden? I'm sorry, Holden, that your name got brought up in this conversation.
Oh, you won't listen to this. It's fine.
This whole, like...
But, like, I don't know. There's so many fucking angles to this. Like,
so... I read an article a few weeks, although now that I think about it, it was probably months ago. It's about how programming is becoming increasingly difficult and impossible to do because it's impossible for you to conceptualize the whole system while working on any one part of it. So that it's... Give me that face, but you read the article and it's actually a really compelling argument. Ugh. You have a tendency to oversimplify things.
It's all I do, man. It's a defense mechanism.
I know.
How hard can it be?
I actually have a quote in here from before where you're like, I'm just going to stop watching this guy's movies, but I was going to save that. I have this in my breast pocket to trot out at some point in this conversation where you say something to the contrary. But like that's how I feel about this situation. Like, the entire... As you start trying to isolate any one part of this system, you can't untangle it from any other part in the system. So any decision you make on one thing, like, invalidates how you feel about something else. And even in the entertainment industry or art, like... Even the entertainment industry is just one subsystem of the rest of society. And as soon as you start untangling one of these things, the only conclusion that you draw yourself to that makes any sense is that you completely leave society and live on your own in a hermitage. Like, that...
I'm not saying we boycott the entire entertainment industry. I just say
we... I'm saying that we boycott the entire society.
System. Yeah.
All right, fine.
But...
I'm really glad you brought that up because I've been having trouble, like, working within the bounds of this conversation in the entertainment industry because it's only a symptom of, like, this much larger symptom. Not symptom. System. Like...
Politics. Now politics is really getting looked at hard.
Is like literally everything. Yeah. Like literally everything ever. So we're talking about like this is happening in the entertainment industry because there's this discrepancy of power between these people, but that's literally on every single level, like just sitting at this table, just like any given family, like any given group of people, that these are the same dynamics that we're working within. This is the entertainment industry is like it's a big like hyperbolic version of that. These people are literally like financial giants and will possibly crush and like end your career, but those power dynamics play out the same in everyday life between men and women specifically.
It's just so much more visible in the entertainment industry specifically because those people draw our attention. Like that is the intent of the industry.
And because the dollar signs are so high, like
those people are not look. Those people are icons.
Yeah,
we have made them icons.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is that the icons that were hurt by this system still, there's a lot of them that still don't feel comfortable coming forward.
Yeah, even with the massive surge of support that victims are seeing now, there's still a lot of people out there who are not. They're demonizing these people. They're saying like god awful things, and you know, everyone still doesn't feel safe to come out for whatever personal reason. You know, it's just like, I'm not saying it's just like coming out as gay, but if you think about like the same sort of situation where it possibly you can consider that being out now is the safest it's been in America. Yeah. But there are still people who choose not to just because they personally don't feel that safety.
Right.
Everybody has their own reasons.
Sure. Sure. So here's something that it's another anecdote about all this. An author that I follow also does a podcast, and they do a podcast similar to this where they talk, they do it from a storytelling perspective because he's an author, but he announced that they were going to talk about the movie Chinatown. And they were talking about it because it is widely recognized as one of the best written screenplays ever.
Hmm.
Yeah. So they announced they were going to do this, and there was one. I only saw one person, but someone who was a fan, a follower, and a Facebook friend of them said, "I am no longer a fan of your work because you are promoting the work of Roman Polanski by doing."
I forgot Roman Polanski. Yeah,
by doing this podcast about Chinatown, and this person's other fans just pounded on this, and it was a woman, just pounded on her, you know. Oh, you're just being a crybaby. That kind of nonsense. And you know, his response to her, the author's response to her was, you know, I understand you feel that way. We're looking at this in terms of the screenplay, but I can do nothing but respect your opinion about it. And I'm sorry you feel that way. This person is willing to separate themselves from their fandom of the content of someone who talks about a piece of art whose screenplay was not written by Polanski. And the screenplay is looked at because it's so popular, not even because of the content that was shown on film, but because the screenplay before it was on film is what they were referencing. But just because of the tangential relationship through Roman Polanski, they're willing to end a relationship of fandom to someone who's completely unrelated. And I'm here to say I'm not willing to go that far.
I mean, I don't know if someone that's
if someone says
stretch.
If someone says, I mean that because I said. Because I said I'm a fan of Kevin Spacey, that would be somebody deciding not to listen to the podcast anymore. Because I say I will still probably watch Swimming with Sharks.
People do that all the time, though.
Yep.
So, I don't think that
personally,
tangent is,
I can't.
I understand that the author is looking at the screenplay and blah blah blah, and they're analyzing it or doing whatever, and that screenplay has nothing to do with. I mean, it has something to do with the movie, but. The screenplay as an item separately has nothing to do with Roman Polanski.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see, and this might not be the line that I would draw, but I can see how someone would say, well, that is holding up this piece of art, which is the movie. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, it does, which holds up the art of Roman Polanski. Like, I don't think that that's that huge of a leap. And if they want to end that relationship with the author who does that... It's most likely that they didn't feel that strongly about that author to begin with. Like, you know what I mean?
Perhaps. Like, yeah, I don't know.
There's a large possibility that that isn't a huge tie for them, that person to sever.
This is more complicated to me because we're adding degrees of separation, but...
I'm not saying that I probably wouldn't make that distinction.
Yeah.
But I also... might not know that Roman Polanski had nothing to do with the screenplay. I might assume that every part of that movie, Roman Polanski had something to do with. So,
I guess this is another situation for me where I would say it depends. If this was a person who was like, if we were straight up doing a promotional event for Harvey Weinstein, like that's straight out, right? Like that's not cool.
Yeah.
If we're doing a recently dead guy podcast and Harvey Weinstein had a role in funding the movie, that's a harder line. Like, that's a... I don't think that's crossing the line for somebody to listen to. Right? Like, I wouldn't... I probably wouldn't expect anybody to abandon the podcast for that. Now, I personally probably won't ever watch a Stanley Kubrick film again.
But Stanley Kubrick isn't as good of an example as Roman Polanski.
Yeah.
Because that has been out in the open forever.
I'll have to look this person up.
I don't think I've ever seen a Roman Polanski movie. Another good one is...
Woody Allen.
Woody Allen.
I'm in your brain.
He is in my brain.
Polanski. A couple of Polanski's biggest movies that off the top of my head are Rosemary's Baby and Chinatown.
I've never seen either one of those.
He's had a couple in recent years, too. Because he still makes films.
Yeah. And I've always... I first started... Because didn't Roman Polanski have a connection to the Folger family that was murdered by the Charles Manson family?
He was married to Sharon Tate.
Yes.
I believe. Let me double check. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was he was married to Sharon Tate.
I don't think I've seen any of these.
So that's when I first started like looking into it, and I was probably in my teens. And I was reading all this stuff about him, and I'm like, he still makes movies. So I remember thinking that way back then, like trying to parse through this, like, how are these all these realities like somehow existing at the same time, that these things are alleged against Roman Polanski and yet like nothing is happening where he can continue to operate within this system?
Specifically, I'm looking through Harvey Weinstein's producer credits,
yeah,
just to see what of the movies of the last 10 years I would have cut out by avoiding his stuff. I didn't come across a lot.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the stuff that he has that's older, like Pulp Fiction, that was like 94. I'm just saying only in the last 10 years, right? Like, there isn't a lot of movies on this list that I have any interest in seeing even now, and I haven't seen most of these movies, which is fine for one person. Oh, actually, Silver Linings Playbook.
We did that for the podcast.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That won some awards. King's Speech.
He has so many producer credits.
Ethan Revolt was really good.
He has over 300 producer credits.
Sure does. Zach and Miri Make a Porno.
The Fighter, The King's Speech.
Yeah. Multiple movies we've done.
The Artist, The Iron Lady.
Fucking Iron Lady.
The Master, Silver Linings Playbook, Django Unchained. Ugh. Fruitvale Station.
What?
Django Unchained.
What's wrong with Django Unchained?
I like that movie.
You don't?
I do like that movie.
I also liked that movie.
You get to see a black guy kill a bunch of slavers. It's a really good movie.
I didn't give a fuck about that part. I was really pissed when 75% of the movie way through the movie ended for me.
Yep. Me too.
I don't remember. I remember we talked. I remember this specific conversation, yeah. But I don't remember. What other points did we have? Where are we? I'm lost.
I was using this as a loose outline, and I think we covered a lot of the topics that I had on here. Let me make sure that there's nothing else that I wanted to say that I've missed. Allyship, Alex, I'll just not support anything they do.
So,
Nature of
here's a question. For example, there have been a couple of television producers in the last week or two that have been removed from their TV series for allegations of sexual assault, abuse, whatever. I don't even know what the right word is anymore, because I don't. And maybe this is part of the problem is I don't want to dig into it anymore. I want to know that that person has been removed from their job, and I don't want to know any more about it. But because whoever that person's boss is removing them from the position, does that free up the art? Does that make the art okay? I mean, specifically, we're talking about television producers.
Yeah,
and that's just,
know that it's any different across the board, but
right.
It's a corrective action. I would look at it. I feel like if you're producing something, and by producing I mean creating a piece of art, whether it's a TV show, music, whatever. you realize that somebody in a position of power in your organization is sexually harassing people, sexually assaulting people, I feel like you have to make a decision to either remove this person from the equation and continue what you're doing if possible, or you have to shut it down. And I feel like shutting it down is insanely difficult to do.
Because there's money involved.
Not only that, there's like, it's more than just money involved. It's people's livelihood that depends on the money, basically, right? So, like, there's the extension that everything the money comes with. So, like, you could look at, like, this Kevin Spacey thing with...
House of Cards. By the way, before we go much further with that, you know it was slated to end before this.
That's what they've said, yes.
Yeah, it was going to end before the allegations came out. They're, like, just continuing the plan for it to end. So it's not like they're canceling the show because of the allegations.
Oh.
Right.
That's not what's happening. It was going to end.
Oh, well, let's say...
it was. They had just started production of season six.
Yeah.
And with the intent that season six was the final season.
Yeah.
That was intended. In fact, spoiler, the character that he played was elevated to the president of the United States by the end of season five. And I guess at the very end of season five, he actually somehow turned that over to his wife, who I guess was the vice president. I don't follow the story, so I'm not exactly sure within the narrative how that works.
Spoilers, Tony.
But he was actually not in the position of president at the beginning of season six. So they weren't, I guess there's still a question of how the narrative would have gone through season six. I guess they were like two episodes into shooting, and I don't know if they've ever resumed.
I mean, I somebody has to make a judgment call that we can make this work without this person, or we're wrapping.
Well, not only and this isn't, he isn't just the lead actor. He's also a producer on it, because that's how you keep lead actors in shows now, is you give them producer credits to give them more.
I feel like a show where somebody is a politician or a president would be really easy to get them to exit. Like, oh, your character's been assassinated.
Yeah. You know, like, I think you're absolutely right. There are easy ways to remove actors that are problematic.
Why would he do that? I mean, he's under contract. He has to agree to it. Like, why would he agree to that?
I feel like sexually assaulting coworkers is a breach of contract.
What?
None of the allegations were for House of Cards staff.
Yes, they were.
Really? What?
Yeah, they were.
I'm pretty sure they
were. Oh, holy
they were.
Shit. I thought they were from a while ago.
The first one was, but there was specifically an allegation of a driver a couple of years ago that, like, Kevin Spacey was driving a car, and, like, this guy drove a car to Kevin Spacey's house to pick him up to get him to set. And, like, then the guy drove in the passenger seat, and, like, while the guy was in the passenger seat, Kevin Spacey reached over and stuck his hand down his pants. And the guy was like, I'm not cool with this. And Yeah, that was one of the ones that came out within the first couple of days after. Part of my cognitive dissonance with all of this, especially in those first, with the first allegation, it was like, wow, that was a long time ago. That's an interesting allegation to be from a long time ago. I wonder. And I know that's hypocritical and horrible and victim-blamey. And then, no, this is not a one-time thing. Yeah. This isn't somebody who's looking for anything other than to make sure that their story gets out there, that this person did bad things. And now, all of a sudden, there are a lot more people that are saying the same thing. And a lot of this came out, I guess, because when Netflix halted production, because I guess when this all came out, it came out over a weekend. He wasn't on set Monday. On Tuesday, they halted production and brought people in to talk to everybody, to see what the fuck was going on, to see if anybody felt harassed by him. Spacey wasn't on set Monday or Tuesday, wasn't scheduled to be on set Monday or Tuesday, and then more stories started coming out.
I accept this new piece of information.
Apparently, he also had a movie that was supposed to come out on Netflix soon that was in post-production that Netflix has stopped cold.
And there's a movie that was supposed to be released in theaters in December. He's been replaced, and the movie is still slated to be released in
December. Christopher Plummer, too.
Christopher Plummer, which is
I just want to see like the worst green screen, like cut out with the fucking shape tool in Photoshop frame by frame.
I don't hate art.
I think it would be hilarious.
But I don't want art to suffer because these people are awful.
I don't know. Like,
So at the end of this discussion, I still don't know what to do.
I don't either.
I don't either. And I knew.
I kind of figured I wouldn't know what to do by the end of this discussion.
Does anybody feel better by talking it out, though?
Nope.
I feel like it's important to have.
That's the last item on my outline.
I don't know what to do.
I don't know what to do.
I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, and I don't know what to like.
I don't want to quit consuming media.
Tell people what to do, like. Not that I ever feel like I wouldn't even know how to advise anyone.
I mean,
I think the only thing you can do is know what you're comfortable with. And I think you have to not turn a blind eye to it. I think that's the most important thing. It's one thing if you don't know. For example, if you're somebody like Holden, 15 years old, turns on HBO one day and there's a movie on and it's like, man, this is a great movie. And he sits down and watches it and starts saying, I want to see everything with this actor, this director made. And he starts doing that. Well, that's one thing. But then what if I know that actor or that director is Roman Polanski? And then I make the conscious decision to sit down and watch The Pianist, The Rosemary's Baby, Chinatown. I think I just have to be aware of that. I have to know and understand that there is this other thing that is also involved in this piece of art. Yeah. Not that it necessarily taints the art, but I think that it has to be there for me. And I'm just talking for me, for my peace of mind, is that I have to be aware that there is an artist involved with this thing that did something terrible or did many things terrible to many people. And if I'm okay with that, well, that's on me. If I'm not okay with it, then I turn it off and I choose not to consume that media. And that's okay too. I'm not going to fault somebody if I said, oh, just see the new such and such movie. No, that person doesn't like cats. Therefore, I will choose not to watch their movie. That's a silly example. But it's an example.
Did you see the new Justice League movie? Because a few years ago, Jason Momoa made a big rape joke at a convention.
Oh, there you go.
For some people, that's a line.
That's enough. For some people, that is enough.
I think you kind of made the point that I wanted to make, which is that for me, this discussion is more important than whatever conclusion anyone comes up with this. As long as you are critically thinking about these things and not just kind of passively, you know, going through and consuming media. I don't want to say that that's enough for me, but I can't ask of anything more
just
from anyone else. Like,
at the same time, I don't know that if I like a movie, I'm going to go and research everyone involved making the movie to see who are the shitty people who made this movie. Because you know what? You're going to find them.
What level of shittiness is going to be the worst?
Right.
So, like Buzz Aldrin punched a dude in the face because the guy said that the moon landing was fake.
I'm okay with that.
Of course you are.
Yeah. I am too.
Of course you are.
Like, if everybody who thought the moon landing was fake just had a fucking fist from Buzz Aldrin punch them in the face once a day, like just manifested itself out of the air and
Alex, that's not okay.
No, that's fine.
We don't hit people, Alex.
No, you don't hit people.
This is a power game. Buzz Aldrin's got the power. He's been to the fucking moon.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody's coming out for fucking Buzz Aldrin.
The only thing... I would ask,
but you see those faces he gives fucking Trump? Jesus.
The only thing I would ask people is to be just conscious and try to be somewhat informed. Now, in your example with Holden, I feel like if that was my kid or somebody that I knew as a friend, I would be like, before you watch this, I'm not going to stop you from watching it. Because I think stopping somebody from consuming media is crazy. I would just say, I want you to know that this actor or this director...
You should be aware, yeah.
like, this happened, so I won't be watching the movie with you.
This, I mean, look, no. Look at it this way. This actor, this director, this writer, this producer, this production company.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot involved there.
I didn't eat Chick-fil-A even when I wasn't a vegetarian because I knew them as hate chicken. They were anti-LGBT.
I didn't eat them because they gave me stomach aches because it was gross.
Well, I had Chick-fil-A for dinner last night.
So did Julie.
But I'm not stopping you from eating there.
I don't know how you would realistically do that.
He'd punch you in the face.
Yeah, I just wait outside.
It's established.
I quit my job, wait outside David's house.
I already made peace with the fact that I am complicit in a system that is terrible.
So
I continue to eat meat. Like, I'm pretty well aware of my own hypocrisy. It's substantial.
But what I'm saying is I'm making these decisions for myself. And the only thing that I could do for... I can't make these decisions for other people. The only thing I could do is make sure that they have the knowledge to make a decision that they think is right.
And
so,
I think there's an interesting movement that I don't know that I will necessarily participate in, but I think I can give kudos to people who do this, that if they consume media that is problematic for them for whatever reason, then they make an in-kind donation to an organization that helps the people who could be negatively impacted by that sort of thing. They're helping. They'll make a donation to Women in Film. They'll make a donation to RAIN. They'll make a donation to...
This bothers me because it's like, it feels like a syntax. I feel like it doesn't erase the damage.
It doesn't, but it's something that is... that makes the person feel better about still consuming the media. Where what makes me feel better about consuming the media is just knowing that it's there and knowing that it happened. I think those people are taking it one step farther. And if that makes them feel better,
I mean,
they're doing something positive.
Is that the conclusion that we're going to come to, Tony? If I set up a $20 recurring donation every month, I can watch whatever guilt-free?
No, I don't think that's the case. But I think if it makes you feel better about it, then
it's got to be at least 1% of your income.
That's going to be what you're going to do.
I don't know.
Like, I don't think it's guilt free.
I mean,
and
but
I don't
that's
think
kind
it's,
of like just thoughts and prayers. Like that's kind of just placating your own like.
Of course
guilt.
It is.
Well,
like,
I think giving money is different than thoughts and prayers.
Not really. You're
an
atheist.
It depends on how much money you have. Like,
I mean, one of those things can feed people.
One of those people can pay counselors.
Yeah, like me thinking about somebody does dick all for anybody.
Okay, but why? Why not just give?
I am literally the person whose thoughts and prayers, and he's literally the person giving money.
Hold on,
who's the better? Who's
literally doing something?
Who's literally doing something? Yeah.
But I what Kayla's saying is that thoughts and prayers to the people who say that shit like that after like a shooting,
they also feel like that, like that absolves them from action.
Yeah, and them saying thoughts and prayers is probably the equivalent of you donating $20 a month to something, right? Like $20 a month doesn't really mean anything to you.
Sure, but
like it.
I know, but I'm not the recipient of the $20.
If all you're doing is giving money and you're not, and you're taking no other action, it's rather disingenuous.
It would be different if it was like $2,000 a month, right? Because then that means something. Caleb flinched.
That's a big amount of money a month.
Because that would.
But what if? But what about that amount of money a month for Kevin Smith?
I mean, it
because that's what
that's
because
what
you know
saying,
what
like,
that's what he's pledged. And he was someone who worked in the system.
But for Kevin Smith, I feel like $2,000 a month is probably nothing.
I mean, that's
right. So are you saying that his...
That's like nothing. I mean, it's probably good publicity, but at the same time, $2,000 a month is like... unless you're cracking a couple percent on your actual income or net worth, like that doesn't mean anything to that individual.
Yeah, again, I got to pay for some cats. And when it comes down to the end of the day, those cats are more important to me than my ethics on this subject. When it comes down to it.
I mean, it would be different if Peach's back surgery cost $20,000 and I, you know, had to get a loan to pay for it or something, right?
Would it be different? Because you're trying to imply to me that it's not.
I wouldn't be able to quit my job or get a different job if some ethical problem came up at work. Like, I would have to think about Peach. Your personal responsibilities are always going to outweigh your morals, which is how ethics. Nazis happen.
Don't conflate ethics and morals.
Ethics, whatever. Putting food on the table for you and your own and taking care of you and your own is always going to be more important than ethics.
I think my conclusion to this...
Yeah, I think I'll come up with some extreme scenarios there, which I don't think that'll come out to be true, but...
Yeah. I think my conclusion to this is I have thoughts and prayers that I hope that there are real changes in the system that has allowed this to be as terrible as it is. I'm not saying it's going to go away. It probably won't. Yeah. But if there's a reduction, a massive reduction, I hope that that happens.
I think you're already seeing a massive reduction just in the sheer quantity of fear that is abound now. Like, the whole Me Too meme thing.
Fear isn't a good motivator.
Movement.
Fear is a fantastic motivator.
Me Too isn't a meme, it's a movement.
Yeah, Kayla corrected me on that a couple weeks ago.
Fear is a fantastic motivator when you're a dude who is afraid that your career is going to be on the line because you're sexually assaulting people.
Yep.
Like, the new generation of actors who are like, yeah, I'm actually okay. Like, nope, I haven't sexually assaulted anybody, so... I'm not afraid of my career. I'm not afraid for my career. Because you know that there are a dozen to two dozen more of the biggest name actors out there who are like, when is this going to happen for me now?
Undoubtedly.
Yeah. Like that, they're just sitting there like waiting for it to happen because they know it's happened.
So, I mean, this is a long time coming. Like, yeah. And it's kind of weird how, I guess it isn't really that sudden, but it feels real sudden, like, how, like, all this shit that we as a society have condemned, like, a wink, but, like, there have never been consequences for this stuff. Right. There just never have, like, so, it's, like I said, it's just a long time coming that this shit is all...
It's really strange. It almost feels like, and I don't know if this is true, but it feels like, and this is going to take a minute to get there, so just wait. Just work.
Strap in.
Yeah. Strap in. This is going to take a minute to get. It almost feels like that this is the result of Trump and Trump's sexual assault allegations, because
allegations? The people... He fucking admitted it.
That's still called allegations.
It's still called allegations because we don't want to get sued.
also, just for some reason, it's always called allegations.
Yeah. That's
convicted before they're not allegations anymore. All
right. So because of the Donald Trump pussy grabbing situation, let's call it a situation.
Ugh, I don't like that word.
Situation.
Get over it,
Trump.
This almost feels like a cleaning house. Like, look, we wanted to condemn that guy and their people were okay with it. But our people, we're okay with our people doing it. We've allowed our people to get away with it. And that needs to stop.
I mean, I think it's...
And I don't know if that's the case.
But, I don't know if I agree with that point.
But it feels like there's just been this huge push and it's just so... sudden.
I have a similar feeling, and I can't believe I forgot to bring it up, where it does feel like that, because Trump had all these allegations against him, and most women I know knew this wasn't going to be true, but I feel like collectively we were like, there's no way we're going to elect somebody who has all of these allegations of sexual assault against him. Not just sexual assault, rape, like... And then he was elected, and everyone's kind of like, whoa, wait, that's not supposed to happen. So yeah, it kind of felt like from that.
Can you imagine how empowered somebody like Harvey Weinstein felt? I mean, seriously, like somebody who's actively abusing people.
I think Harvey Weinstein felt as empowered as he always did, because that's always just been the truth.
Yeah.
Like,
I'll do it and get away with it.
Yeah, that's always just been the truth.
I'll do it. There's no thought of getting away with it because there's no...
It just is.
It just is.
Yeah.
It's just, this, just how business works.
Yeah. So there's another thing that you touched on, and maybe it wasn't your point, but I feel like I have to bring up. I've seen a lot of shit recently about people talking about liberals versus conservatives and how they react to this.
Oh, sure.
And what's driving me nuts is I don't see a liberal or conservative reaction to this. I see people in situations where it's easier for them to accept this person has sexually assaulted somebody because they don't have hard ties to them, and people who are, it's been much more difficult because it challenges their beliefs in what they believed in this person or this company or this organization or this group of people or whatever, right? It's the same thing with the Catholic Church, same thing with politicians, same thing with me and Neil deGrasse Tyson and George Takei. So, like, there are a lot of people who, like, seem to be pointing fingers at a specific group of people, liberals, conservatives, Republicans, Democrats, whatever. And it's like, this isn't a problem with a group of people unless your group of people is men. It seems to be, right? Like, and it's hard for some of us to accept it because some of these people or some of the organizations they represent are pretty ingrained in our lives.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There is no party line.
No.
For sexual assault.
Harvey Weinstein was a liberal.
I
perpetrator, I agree.
Right.
Condemner, I don't agree.
Perpetrator. Perpetrator is what I meant.
Because if we're all watching this Alabama situation unfold,
I was just going to bring that up too because it is so weird.
So here's the thing. Most Republicans I've seen have told him to drop out, not accept the Senate seat, and so on. However,
Sean
Hannity,
like DC Republicans,
yeah.
But when we're talking about constituents, like in the state of Alabama,
it is disgusting.
In the Bible, they had
no
when they were 15. Of course, we were living to like 20.
Mary was a teenager.
Let me throw you for
20.
Let me throw
you another
one.
That's like 75 years old now.
Let me throw you another one for a loop. Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bill Clinton's the other side of that. Mm-hmm. It's not a liberal or conservative thing. It's...
He should have resigned. I don't feel like this is a partisan issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, it's... Whenever people make it about, like, oh, it's not my group, it's somebody else's group, like, I feel like they're not able to inspect their own thoughts and realize that if they believe that this person who they thought was good did something bad, then they have to inspect, like, other parts of their life. And it's, like, too much for them, and it's easier for them to just double down.
It's a lot of words to say people are biased.
I'm trying to spell it out.
For who?
Everybody listening. All three of them.
This just in. Alex thinks you're an idiot.
Wow.
I mean, I don't think anyone's an idiot. I'm just trying to be as accurate as possible with my words. And also, I can't say I don't think anyone's an idiot. There are people who I think are idiots. I don't think they're listening to this podcast. I don't think they've listened for the last 2.5 hours, specifically.
You just hear those wow noises. And all I can think of is fucking Luke Wilson. No,
yeah.
Owen
yeah.
Wilson.
I saw Mike post that on your...
Wow,
ever since
wow.
then.
Yeah. Wow.
I've just constantly been... Wow.
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 Rich just said thanks, by the way.
Wow. I've just been constantly... Wow.
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 Wow, this was a depressing 3 hours.
So I'm just curious, because I know how I feel about it. Do you feel better or worse that we've had this discussion? Like, your mood before we started recording and your mood now?
The same.
Higher or lower?
I would say the same. It's going to be something that I'm working through probably for the rest of forever. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I've been doing this for months.
I feel I wouldn't say responsible, but like I feel a bit more pressure because I do consider myself a feminist, specifically an intersectional one. So I'm always trying to like do that to the best of my ability and not just be complacent. So there's, I don't know. I don't know. I just, for some reason, that is an added pressure to me to these points. Like, I was really relieved when you started with that preamble.
I know.
It was very well written.
It was extremely well written.
Poorly well written.
It was poorly well written.
I was very relieved.
No, I think it...
The points were relevant.
I think it was a great kickoff to this whole discussion.
It's not like I know, like, what I'm going to do now about this, right? So, like, but I guess I feel better that we had a discussion about it, and it was nice hearing everybody's viewpoints and thoughts.
I'm probably going to go forward doing exactly what I was doing before, just a little more intensely, which is I've always tried to be introspective, and I've always tried to analyze the media that I consume, and I'm just going to try to do that harder. I don't know what else I can ask of myself or anybody else sitting at this table.
What about David or Tony?
Except to, you know, listen to each other when we talk about these things.
What about you, David?
How do you?
I'll just do the same thing I've always done. Just justify it after the fact and move on with my life.
Perfect.
Switch off my humanity.
So does this change the rule?
What's the rule? Oh, does the work stands
the
alone?
The work stands alone.
I don't think so.
Here's my problem with that rule. I can't separate how I feel about these people and the media that they're producing.
But you could if you didn't know.
Ignorance isn't acceptable.
It's not, but if you didn't know, you'd have one opinion, and if you did, it'd be a different opinion.
Yeah, my opinion on Dr. Strangelove has changed.
So then the work can...
Does the work of other artists creating the art, is that negatively impacted because of the work they did with the person who did the terrible thing?
I mean, it depends on their relationship. Like,
are we Jack, back at the beginning of the podcast?
Yeah, kind of.
I was finished. Am I going to go to work eventually, ever? I still think it's possible that the work stands alone.
Wow.
Next week.
God damn.
I feel sorry if anybody listens to this week's episode and next week's episode back to back.
Especially if they listen to next week's first.
Oh, man.
This one, like.
Well, they didn't do a movie last week either. Oh, that's going to be a laugh riot.
We're doing a movie next week.
What are we doing?
Justice League.
Oh, that's good.
Oh.
It'll be a real short conversation.
We'll see.
Yeah, Alex will have seen it twice by then.
Yeah, Ken and I saw it already on Monday.
Yeah.
Some fancy pre-release thing. It wasn't that fancy. We went to a theater, sat in the very front row. Just hurt my neck staring up. It was a good time.
Aquaman was like this on the bottom. And then like this at the top.
So the best part was
right up there.
Right at the eye level. Right at eye level.
Those pecs.
Yeah, he like pulled off his shirt.
Hey.
You've seen it. It's in the trailer.
Let's just calm down with talking about the movie.
Some of us don't get to see it till tomorrow.
Post-orgasm torture situation we have going on over here. Jesus Christ.
We're also seeing it tomorrow again. This time, just not from the front row.
I've happily seen it by myself.
Literally, the movie was almost unwatchable. Like, I did not...
Anytime the camera panned... Nope. No, just because we were sitting so close. Anytime the camera panned, I got sick.
Yeah, there was an intense feeling
it
of
was
vertigo.
Unwatchable because of the angle you were at.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I was telling David this. I couldn't watch the ending credits because we were sitting so close... And the pixels were like a foot.
Yeah.
So like the words were jumping up the screen.
Oh, wow. The warning came on at the beginning, and it's like blah 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 blah. Like, do not record. Like, put the fuck away your phones. Like, blah 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 blah. And I'm like, me and the girl next to me were like, what does it say? Because it took so long for your head to like move from side to side.
Yeah, it was literally like six.
She
lines
was like,
long.
You get this half, and I'll get the other half.
It was like six lines long, so you're like, first line, got it. Second line, got it. Third line, oh, it's gone.
Yeah, it's gone.
It's gone.
I was like, I don't know what that says, so...
phones out, just record the first song.
I need to get a picture of this so I can see what it says.
No. So when we were sitting so close...
Oh, wait.
I tried to take a picture of the screen with the wide-angle lens on my phone. The wide-angle lens on my phone has a 170-degree field of vision. Can't capture it. Couldn't capture the whole fucking screen at the beginning.
Wow.
It was rough.
That is rough.
So I only saw the stuff that was happening in the middle 30% of the movie. Like if something was going on over there.
It's mostly pelvises, to be honest.
Yeah. A lot of pelvises.
We're straying a lot really close to this discussion. Literally, the movie releases on Friday. We're seeing it on Thursday. And you guys are damn sure trying to get too close to fucking... That's it. You're both walking home.
After the sexual harassment discussion, now we're talking about pelvises on screen.
I like how uncomfortable this is making David.
Should we wrap it up?
Yeah, let's go home. I'm not going to get home until tomorrow already, so...
Yay.
I tried to leave 20 minutes ago before this conversation started for exactly this fucking reason.
What reason?
You guys don't even... Like, I don't understand. You've known me for a while now.
There's no spoilers.
You know how I am about these things.
He doesn't want to talk about the movie because he doesn't want to burn his...
Because mind. I want the work to stand alone.
I'm sorry.
I'm very intense about this.
I'm sorry, David.
I'm going to get you some glasses that just make it like a trapezoidal effect so you can watch it like we watched it the first time.
No, I'm going to watch it like a normal person.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for this, waiting through this discussion.
Yeah, that was harsh.
Good night, Rich. You know what? Good night. Everybody else is going to listen to this later.
So, Sam and Rob.
Or good day.